Well, as I was thinking and praying about what to preach on this week, the Lord led me to the topic of joy. I'd been hearing these words, fatigue and malaise, and hearing about the ongoing suffering, not just through COVID times, but other things going on. And just led to the topic of joy as a weapon of war against that. And the Lord led me to Psalm 16. The times that we're in, of course, present opportunities for anxiety and fear and worry. And what do we do? How do we handle all that we're going through? Well, Psalm 16 gives us these weapons with which to fight and win, overcoming fear and anxiety through God's word, through the joy that he gives. David's in trouble, but listen to the number of times, there's at least 10 times where he talks about delighting, rejoicing, finding his joy in the Lord. Psalm 16. A miktam, a song of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May God bless the reading, hearing, and teaching of this, his holy word. So David tells us right off that he is in some sort of trouble. Preserve me, help me, keep me safe. And then he goes on and mentions at least 10 times these words associated with joy. David is finding his refuge in the joy of the Lord. Overcoming trouble with joy in the Lord. Now, a definition of joy. Joy is a delight in life that runs deeper than pain or pleasure. It's a gift from God. That can be experienced even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. We're not playing around with this anymore. Do you kind of feel that? No more giving it quarter for a few months and then it will be over and back to normal. I think I felt that in March. And then the quarantine times and the isolation times and the, well, you know, we can get through this. Surely, you know, the weather gets warmer by July, this will be over. Well, it's lasted, right? Lasted a lot longer than we had anticipated or hoped. I think this enemy might require some bigger guns. And of course, it's not just COVID. It's national election season. There's politics, always divisive. There's riots and issues going on in some of our bigger cities, and words like fog, malaise, how much longer, and then canceling college football? Wait, what? I mean, I can handle a lot of things, but... And then in the immediate context, it's school starting, right? And that's a time of excitement and anticipation. I mean, kids are not really excited that summer's over, but they're really excited about it. They have to go back to school. It's something new. It's something different. New friends, new schedules getting back in order. Not this year. Not quite the same. I have two kids that are students at Auburn, and they had a 5-month-long spring break, and we were real excited for them to go on back, and they were real excited to go on back. And then they get word that a great percentage of their courses are going to be online, and by the way, your tuition is going up. Just kind of curious about all that. So just all of this combined made me think about warfare. You know, in war, you need defensive measures and offensive weapons. You need to defend against attacks, and you need to attack the enemy. And so what we're looking at is not just joy. Joy as a goal, as an emotion, as just a feeling, but joy in the Lord as a sense of this is a chief purpose for which we are made, to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. And so I want us to see four aspects of joy in the Lord that give us what we need to fight in this battle for our souls to have joy. Joy in the Lord is an armor. It's a weapon. It's a choice. And it's as near as your right hand. First then, joy in the Lord is armor. So David's immediate situation, he's on the run. Enemies are pursuing him. So what does David do? He cries out to the Lord for protection, for safe harbor, for refuge. And so, related to us, yes, we pray for and we work hard for a vaccine against COVID-19, but we might just need something bigger, a bigger shield than just the hopes that we'll get a vaccine, right? So in verse 4, David has picked up a really big shield. Joy in the Lord is a shield against the temptations to seek after created things to bring us lasting joy. Joy in the Lord is a vaccine against the disease of materialism. Okay? It's a shield. These competing religions are offering joy. Materialism offers joy through created things. Christianity offers joy through the Creator. It's not that created things can't give you joy. They can and they do, but it's not lasting. You will always need more and more, and that will only lead to more sorrow. That's what worldliness is. That's the religion of worldliness. Doubling down again and again and again. Well, that thing didn't really fulfill me as much as I thought it was, but this thing will. And then my eyes are drawn to this thing. Something will finally be that, and it won't be. It'll just create more sorrow. I remember walking into a store at Christmas time, and they had everything, you know, decorated up and lights and everything, and they had these what looked like ornaments hanging from the ceiling. And there were these big ornaments, and they had words written on them, J-O-Y. Big letters, big ornament as you walked in, and hanging right above this particular product and this particular product, right? They're using the incarnation, right? Jesus came to bring joy to the world, but they're circumventing that and using the gift that Jesus came to bring in order to get you to buy stuff that is supposed to fulfill a desire for joy. It's very deceptive and very effective, too, to lead you to sacrifice in order to find joy in something that's not going to last. Materialism has roots and wings that can lead to some pretty gross and icky stuff. Look at what David says. Their drink offerings of blood. Drink offerings of blood of pride in what I have acquired through the sacrifices that I have made and given. Drink offerings of blood refers to the death of something living in order to acquire something for myself. I think one application of this, just scratching the surface, but one application of this is to consider what sacrifices you might be willing to make in order to acquire more possessions. Your possessions could end up possessing you. The choices we make are religious choices. See? Who am I seeking to bring glory to with this choice? So David knows this, so he holds up this big shield of joy in the Lord to defend against the temptation to worship other gods, to go to other things for refuge. So, yeah, Michael, you don't have to tell us this, that, you know, since March, we've had lots of disruption in our lives. Okay. But maybe some things are being taken away that might have given you a sense of normalcy and ease and comfort and stability. Where is your soul's anchor? What is your soul rooted in? Where do you really find rest and joy? And I know you know the right answer. But when all this war is bombarding us, your real refuge is being exposed. And so that leads to verse 6. Look, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. This is a matter of perspective to help you see the boundary lines of your life. Of what God has chosen to give and what God has chosen to withhold. Are His sovereign good will for you? That your life is not your own. It's been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And then this is armor, more armor against comparison. That great robber of joy. And so you need not only armor, but you need the weapon. Joy in the Lord is a weapon. We might need some bigger guns. Look at verse 3 and verse 7. David says, I go to the Lord and I go to the Lord's people. This is a weapon. My joy is in the saints, verse 3. They're the excellent ones. And at the risk of bombarding the church office, Christine, our church administrator, shared with us how delighted she's been, how fun it's been. People have just been dropping by the church office just to be here. just to be present, just to have a conversation with somebody at the church. Okay, so many people who don't feel comfortable coming. And then those of you that are here, you know, what a gift it is to the leadership and to one another. Those of you that deal with the difficulties of watching it online and joining through live stream, going through one more Zoom conference call, meeting with your small group in that way, taking the time to care for one another, those are ways that you're demonstrating that you're using the weapon. You're finding your joy in the Lord through joy in one another and helping to prosper that, maintain it, and keep it going. And then verse 7, David says, I go to the Lord. He's the one who gives me counsel. And that word connotates wrestling. Okay, he has wrestled with the Lord. He has grabbed hold of the Lord and said, you promised this. You say you're going to give it to me. Give it to me, Lord. And in the night, when I'm trying to go to sleep and I'm tempted to worry, anxiety, fearfulness, in the night, I go to the Lord and He instructs me. He reminds me. He teaches me. See, this is the opposite, but it's a weapon. It takes a weapon. It's the opposite of escapism and self-medication, which are all the more likely to rise up as viable options for you. No, you need a shield and you need the weapon. And third, you need to take it up. See, joy in the Lord is a choice. This joy must be apprehended. It must be taken hold of, sought after, pursued. This is what David is modeling for us. Look at verse 2. He says, I say to the Lord. I make myself say this. You know, I hear myself say it. I verbalize it. Verse 8, I set the Lord always before me. See? I put Him in front of my eyes. You know, I choose to focus on the Lord and who He is. What he's saying is that I choose to look through my circumstances. I don't deny that they're there. They're there. But I choose to look through them and I see the Lord as dominant, as ascendant, as primary, as preeminent over them. How do you do this? With honesty. With honesty with yourself. God knows your temptations. He knows how you're feeling. Don't try to ignore it or pretend it's not there. Tim Keller has a great prayer on his comments on Psalm 16. He says, Lord, let's pray this prayer. He says, forgive me for wanting the gifts of your hand more than the glory of your face. Isn't that a strong temptation for us all the time? But especially when we're itching for things to get back to normal, whatever that is. Help me to repent, Lord. Help me to look at verse 4 and see where I have fallen into running after other gods. Those false and fleeting joys. So that then what happens is you loosen your grip on the things of the world. And you tighten your grip on the things of God. Verse 5 was where I was looking. Yes, verse 5. This is where David is saying, the Lord is my chosen portion. He is my true wealth. You use this shield of joy found in the Lord, this weapon of joy found in the Lord and in nothing else, and that leads to verse 9, which is the core of the psalm. My heart and my flesh rejoice. My whole being is dwelling secure, spirit and body, that God can lead you to this. Now, this does not mean, and this is very important, that we cannot lament. Okay. None of the scriptures are saying, well, you just need to be happy, happy, joy, joy all the time and pretend that it doesn't hurt. No, it hurts. It's hard. It's painful. We don't pretend that the suffering is not really that bad. It is. Verse 1, it starts off with lament. Very honest before God. Preserve me. I'm running to you for refuge. I'm in trouble. In Christ, lament and joy are married. The two become one. The two, lament and joy, are on the same mission. To glorify God. To admit to Him that the fallenness that I have to live in really is bad. And God wants us to be honest about that. Because as we're honest about that, then the joy in the Lord becomes more precious to you. See? The freedom that He promises, the life that He gives becomes real to you. And just look at Jesus. Jesus lamented without sin, of course. He's a man of sorrows. He admitted how hard it is to live in a fallen world. And then He's a man of perfect joy because He knows what it is to live as a royal son of the Father. See? That is you in Christ. That is us. Freedom and invitation to lament about the sorrows and how bad they are, and freedom to have joy in the Lord to get you through living this short life as fallen as it is. So joy in the Lord is a shield. Joy in the Lord is a weapon. Joy in the Lord is a choice. And last, joy in the Lord is near as your right hand. This right hand imagery helps us realize that joy is what flows from salvation. David is going into his salvation and tapping in deeply into what the Lord has given him. Just one more verse on this all throughout the scriptures, but Isaiah 35:10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So look at verse 11. David is helping us see that joy is grounded in God and flows from God Himself. See? And that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. God is love, and this love gives joy. Okay? It's the path then of our very lives where we dwell in His presence and experience His presence. It can't help but give us overflowing joy that is supernatural. See, a gift of the Spirit. And this is accessible, available, as near as your right hand. And it gets better. For some, these could be days of pruning, of purging even. A removal of temporary joys so that they can be replaced with a joy invincible. How near is this light and how it must be appropriated and taken in. And so Peter, the Apostle Peter, uses Psalm 16 in his first sermon in Acts chapter 2. He quotes entirely from Acts, from verses 8 through 11 in Psalm 16. And he says, David didn't know it, but he was prophesying the joy found in Christ's resurrection. The psalm is ultimately pointing to the resurrection of Christ. So this is invitation to tap into the power of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus means that the joy of the Lord is as near as your right hand. Okay? Right there with you. And you take up the shield of Jesus' resurrection that he took into himself your guilt, your shame. He paid the price for it. He suffered and died trying and took on himself you trying to make your life your own. See? That form of resistance to God's grace. I can do it. I can get through it. I'm okay. See? He took that into himself, and that is a shield for you. And then you take up the weapon of Jesus' resurrection. If you are in Christ, then his victory over death is your victory. So the suffering doesn't define us. His victory over temptation is your victory. No matter what temptations come to you, to fall into escapism or to fall into following other gods that you know are other gods, you can overcome because you are victorious in Jesus. And he always is faithful to provide a way out as you dwell in his presence. As you set the Lord before your face, see, he will make the way. This week I was driving on 280 and the traffic was more than normal and it was the middle of the day and I was in my truck, which is a dark navy blue truck, and I have no air conditioning. And I was sitting there and I looked up at the temperature gauge on my truck and it said 100 degrees. And I was like, rising frustration, rising anger, rising how long is this going to be going on? And then the Holy Spirit just like knocked on my head and said, what are you doing? Why are you frustrated? What are you complaining about? Where is your joy? Where is your rest? And aren't you about to preach on this? And he said, I heard the word, not literally, it was in my mind, the lines have fallen for you in pleasant places. And I was like, yes, Lord, forgive me. Yes, look at what you have done in my life. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Dwell on that. Meditate on that. Beat it into your head and your heart. I can endure because my joy is not in my circumstances, but in the Lord. You could write this psalm. This song could be yours. You could grow so that you have this to say to God that comes out of your soul. I am on the run. I need a refuge. But over and over and over again, I am going to choose to delight in you, Lord. So that whining and complaining and jealousy and envy and comparison is like some distant land way far away that you used to live in, but is not you anymore. You take up this shield. You take up this weapon. Weaponized joy in the Lord. God gives us these wonderful gifts in order to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. Oh yes, Lord. And Holy Spirit, might you work supernaturally in us. We can't do this on our own. It's preposterous. We would fall for all the idols around us. But Lord, you have revealed yourself to us as the only source of life and joy. Joy that runs deep. Deepen it, Lord, in us and through us. Make us those lightning bugs that shine brightly because we have joy in you that is invincible because of what you have done in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.